Do you ever feel like you're just wasting your time on social media? That creating all of those Instagram posts is just kind of getting you nowhere? Not sure that any of your efforts are actually resulting in income growth for your business? Well, today's guest, Christine Bluba, is an expert at crafting social media posts that sell. Christine is a copywriter and she does an incredible job at developing polarizing content that attracts an audience, crafting captions that get engagement, and then taking that engagement and turning it into a DM conversation where she pitches and sells her offers with ease. The way she leverages the Instagram platform to actually make sales and not just get a bunch of followers is ridiculously inspiring. So today she is revealing it all on the podcast. I have asked her all of my burning questions about how we can apply this same strategy ourselves in our businesses, and honestly, she is not leaving anything out. Before we dive in, I just wanted to shout out one of our recent reviews. Over on iTunes, Nikki writes, "Great listen for any stage. Tons of tips and inspiration to grow your online business. I feel like the topics Gemma covers is such a wide range and can really be applied to whatever stage of growth you're in. Can't wait for the next episode." Thank you so much, Nikki, for that review. If you are able to take a minute and go leave us a review on iTunes, I would seriously appreciate it. And as we get into this episode with Christine, share your aha moments, your big takeaways, whatever it is that really resonates with you. Share it on Instagram stories. Make sure to tag me at gemma.bonhamcarter. I would love to hear what really resonated from this episode. We can connect in the DMs, you and I, and I'll share it out to my audience too. All right, let's dive on into this juicy conversation. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode. I am so excited to welcome Christine here. Christine, welcome to the Passive Project Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Gemma. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. So Christine is a copywriter. She helps soulful online coaches and experts create money-making messages. I am obsessed with her Instagram account. And if you guys haven't followed her yet, you are going to be too. So Christine, why don't you just, before we kind of dive into the nitty-gritty of what I want to chat about today, just introduce yourself and let us know kind of who you are and who you help in your business.
Yeah, thank you. So like you said, I'm a copywriter. I write launch copy for 6 and 7 figure business owners online. And then I also teach up and coming entrepreneurs how to create their own messaging. And I do that through social media. And, you know, I have had my business for about 4 years now, and writing for social media in particular has been such a huge boost for me and what I do. Being able to kind of share my message, show what I do. And then when I started teaching it to other people, I realized that this was such a cool medium for other people to get a lot of practice and learn how to clarify their message and reach their people and also like make more sales for their business. So I'm really all about like helping people to create like genuine connections with their audiences, focus on, you know, real relationships as opposed to just like trying to grow and get more followers and all of the vanity metrics. I love helping people to reach their people like with their language and their messaging.
Yeah. And you do that really well. What I think like one thing that I just want to pull out from that introduction is just your specialty around writing for social media. I think there are so many amazing copywriters out there, and there's so much to learn around creating incredible email content and creating incredible sales pages and like the sales letter and all of those types of things. But it can be, even if you become really skilled at that, and I've done a lot of sort of self-training and read a lot of books and done a lot of sort of working through improving my skills when it comes to that type of copywriting. But actually, writing for social media, it's kind of a whole different ballgame. And it's hard. It's hard to get it across. I'm a rambler. Like I will just keep typing and keep typing. Yeah. anybody on my email list knows that my emails tend to be long, and it's hard to really be able to be concise on social media and get your point across in that short space, like in whether that's Instagram, Facebook, you know, whatever the medium. So that's, I think that's really interesting. So why don't we just dive into like, what are the most kind of foundational concepts that we need to grasp if while we're thinking about creating engaging social content? Like what are some of those foundational things that maybe some of us are missing?
Yeah, absolutely. So it really comes back to like the foundational stuff for any type of copywriting. You know, as a copywriter, and I think a lot of people who aren't in this space may not know this, but like the first step for us is always to like do research, kind of get like, what is the actual core message here before we actually do any writing. We don't just make up a bunch of words and they like suddenly like, you know, the sales roll in. We actually dive into things like, you know, who is the perfect fit client for this particular offer? What kinds of things are they thinking and saying to themselves on a daily basis? What are they saying that they wish they had? You know, what kinds of things have they tried? So it gets really specific with your ideal customer, and you need to be really clear on that language that those people are using and the things that they really care about. For writing for social media or really any copy that you're writing. So that's one thing, is really knowing, I say on a mind reader level, your right. most ideal client. Then you also have to be really clear on like your offer, your work, the value that you are providing people, and be able to like really clearly articulate like what people are like, what's in it for them? Like, what are they getting out of working with you? Or, you know, your particular, whatever your offers that you have, you need to be able to talk about, the transformation that those offers are creating for your people. You also need to be really clear on your own, like personal story and journey. Just all these sort of like, this is the foundation of your message. And if you don't have clarity on that and you just start diving into trying to write social media posts, they're going to fall flat. People are not going to be engaging. They're not going to really care about what you have to say because you aren't clear on this other stuff first.
It's really funny the way that you even just presented your answers just then. It's exactly what I walk through when I'm helping people craft an evergreen email funnel. Like those are the things that have to happen first, because you can't just look at some templates or some blueprints and craft some emails if you really don't understand those foundational things, because it's just not going to resonate. So that's really interesting. And I think a lot of people skip over those steps because they just want to get to the doing and get to the, you know, where they think they need to be in order to start making sales. And even just the clarity around the offer, I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So can we talk for a second about captions? And like, yeah. Are there any, I don't know, any like tips or tricks or things we need to be thinking about when it comes to captions? I see, I'm sure everybody can like feels the same way. I see people using different styles of captions, whether it's long form or they're short little things. Maybe there's lots of emojis. They capitalize the first line. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, you know, it's like, what works? What should we be doing? Should we be creating our own style? Any guidelines there?
Sure. So I have like a whole method that I teach in my social post at sell program. But like, basically the first thing that you want to think about is like the headline of your post. And this goes for Instagram, Facebook, really any social media platform, because it's the first thing that people see. On Instagram especially, it's really the only thing people can see because the rest of the post is hidden. So that needs to stand out and grab attention. And there's, you know, there's different ways you can do that. Like the capitalizing, that line has become like a popular trend, adding emojis, but really the most important part of it is like, what are you actually saying?
Right.
And is it something that like is, that's going to grab people's attention and make them want to click that like read more button and open up the rest of your post. So like that is really the first thing that you want to think about. The next thing is like, how are you structuring your post. So sometimes I'll like open a post and it's like 87 lines of text in one paragraph, mm-hmm. and I immediately move on. Like, I'm not going to read through that because I have a short attention span. And
yeah. It's too heavy.
Yeah. So does so many other people. Like, a really simple thing that you can do right now to make your post so much more impactful is just add some white space. Mm-hmm. Like, make it easy for people to digest little nuggets of your post. And they're going to be more likely to read it. Mm-hmm. Something that I always say is that unread copy can never convert. So like, make it easy for people to read your stuff.
Absolutely.
It takes 1 second to do. It's not a big deal.
Same principle goes with like your weekly email that you send, or an email in a funnel, or anything. Adding that white space just to make it scannable, digestible, super important. So, okay, that's really good.
Yeah. And then also, like, I mean, there's so many different things that you really want to consider in your overall like strategy when it comes to captions, in terms of like, you know, posting different types of content. So you're educating people, you're inspiring them, you're showing them kind of behind the scenes, you're making offers, talking about like what you actually sell. That's a huge mistake that people make, is being afraid to talk about what it is that they actually sell. So you have all these people following you, but they have no idea what you actually do.
Absolutely. And
then lastly, like having a really clear, easy to act on call to action at the end of your post.
And do you always make those like a thing they need to do? Or could it just be responding to you in the comments, or yep. something simple like that?
Yeah. So the way I teach it is like, vary what you ask people to do, because different types of people will do different things.
Okay.
And it can be something as simple as like, leave a comment and say this, mm-hmm. or go to the link in my bio, or send me a DM, or whatever. You want to be thinking about like, what do you actually want people to be doing? And then base your call to action on that. Like, is your goal to be like building your list? What can you do? How can you get people, you know, going over to your landing page? Is your goal to, are you in like launch mode? Are you filling a program? Like, how can you get people into a conversation?
Right.
So like, think about what the strategy is and then base your call to action on that.
Right. And then do you ever just do like short captions with no call to action just for fun?
I used to. Now at this point, like, I don't post super often.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I may only post like once a week. Mm-hmm. So I want that post to be like really juicy and like
have impact,
building my brand and yeah, having an impact. So I don't do those short posts anymore, but you definitely can. I think the most important thing, you were asking me before, like, you know, what works, like, what do we do? And the reality is like, different stuff is going to work for different people. You have to experiment and see what your audience responds to, and then just do more of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be different for everyone. So, I mean, I know people who write these like really like poetic kind of like posts and stuff, and it works really well for them. Mm-hmm. Like, my stuff is like shorter, punchier, like, you know, a little more like tongue in cheek. And like, I like to be really polarizing, with my posts and, you know, bullet points and stuff like that. And that works really well for me. So right. You have to just experiment.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. So, let's dive into talking about your strategy for moving toward this sale, because I've seen you talk about this a lot. I'm sure you cover this in your programs and with your clients. And I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you tend to connect a lot with people in the DMs and move them toward the sale there. So can you talk us through a little bit your strategy there?
Absolutely. Yeah. You guys, DMs, especially on Instagram, are like the secret sauce. They're such a powerful way to connect with people. And I think surprisingly few people are really utilizing them, because I still have people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe you actually responded to me, or like, thank you for taking the time to actually talk to me. People are just like kind of blown away a little bit.
Yeah.
When you do have conversations. So for me, what I like to do, and you know, I like have sold out like a beta program of an offer. I've you know, signed like $10,000 copywriting contracts and stuff, in like through direct message. So what I like to do is in my posts, you know, I have a strategy where I'm, you know, I'm educating people, I'm talking about my offers. And then when something is actually for sale, I will include calls to action for people to either comment or DM me. Okay. If they comment, then I start a conversation in the comments. I think a mistake people make is that someone will comment and then they'll say, oh, thanks. And that's it.
Right. Instead of so like, you ask back a question or something.
A question or something like that. If they DM me, obviously, then it's like we skipped a step, but eventually I want to get people into my direct messages, talk to them about what's going on with them. If I determine that like, yes, my, whatever I'm selling would might be a good fit for this person, then I will ask them if I'll let them know that I have this thing and ask them if it's something they want to learn more about. And then I basically just kind of chat them through a process of like filling them in kind of on details and then sending them to whatever's appropriate. Like I've sold offers that didn't even have a sales page. I was just like, here's a PayPal link. If you want to join, like you can join, or I'll send them to a sales page, or I'll send them a link to like book a sales call if it's like, you know, a higher level copywriting offer.
Right. And so just back to the thing around, so you're responding, they, you know, you have asked in your caption if they're interested to, or whatever the language is, to comment, they leave a comment, you start replying to that comment and you start having a conversation. At what point do you get into the DMs? Like, are you waiting for them to send you a DM, or do you then at a certain point know that it's appropriate to DM them?
Yeah. So what I'll do is in the comments, I'll, you know, ask them a question. And then, you know, if they respond to that question, I'll be like, hey, I'm going to send you a DM so we can talk about this like on a deeper level. And then I just reach out and I'm like, hey, like, you know, thanks for chatting. And then depending on what we've been talking about, and I try to make it as much about like helping them as possible. I think another mistake people make with DMs is just like, let me just throw a link at you. Let me just, you know, pitch you this and that. And like, I don't know about you, Gemma, but I get like cold pitches all the time in mm-hmm. DMs, and I'm just like, this is not effective. Exactly. Yeah. There's like such a better way to go about it where you actually like build a rapport with people before you start talking about your offer.
For sure. And yeah, really understanding what their pain points are, because also you don't want to just fill your offer with people who aren't the right fit. And so if you're taking the time to really make sure that that person that you're connecting with is the right fit and they feel that, they're going to be so much more likely to buy because you've just held their hand and made sure that like they're feeling confident that you are going to provide the solution to their problem. So mm-hmm. No, I really like that a lot. And, one technical question.
Yeah.
Do you ever respond? Do you ever in the DMs do voice messages, or do you always type it out?
I love doing voice messages.
Okay. Me too. I'm glad you said like, that. It saves like, so much time.
It's faster. Yes. And it adds that extra layer of like person to person kind of connection. Again, I think it's something not a lot of people are doing. So people are like, they're really excited that they're actually hearing your voice, like you're an actual human. So yeah, I highly recommend voice messaging.
Yeah, me too. Okay, guys, you heard it here. Start voice messaging your people is, and you know, it really is so much faster to press that little button. My problem is that I do ramble. And so then they'll get like four messages in a row from me where I'm like going on and on and on. And I probably overwhelm some people, but you know what? That's just who I am. So if they're going to work with me, they need to know that that's what it's like. Yeah. I over deliver in my programs and I over deliver on my voice DMs with too many.
I think that's fine.
So I love that. Okay. I want to get back to your specifically the quotes that you do in your own Instagram. If you guys haven't visited Christine's Instagram yet, which we have linked to in the show notes with this episode, head on over. You'll see she does these incredible quotes that are kind of like, it looks like they're written in a journal that you just are like sitting on your couch or your bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're beautifully like photographed and all of that kind of stuff. So I just wondered the background, like how did you come up with that idea? Had you tried different things, like different sort of layouts and ideas. And then this one sort of stuck and started to really kind of go far, because here's the thing that I love about it. It looks different from everybody and their brother does a quote, right? And I love the fact that yours looks different.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. So it started accidentally, kind of. I was part of a sort of Instagram campaign.
The Imperfect Boss?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm a friend. Ashley and I are buds. Actually, yes, Ashley is from Ottawa.
Oh, she is.
So yeah, awesome. I ran into her at the mall 2 days ago.
That's amazing. Yeah. So she invited me to be part of this thing. And I was sharing this really vulnerable story about myself, and like the struggle that I've had with chronic illness and running a business. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable putting a picture of me with this. Like, it was just like, I was feeling really tender about it. And so I was like, I'm just going to write it down. I grabbed a journal. I just took a Sharpie and I wrote down what I wanted to say. And then I used my phone. I snapped an overhead shot of like me sitting on my bed with this notebook. And it got so much like love and engagement. And I was just like, oh, this, you know, it made me feel really good considering the subject matter. And then I was like, I wonder, like, maybe I could like try this again, because quote cards are like such a thing on Instagram, and everyone's like, you know, screenshotting their Twitter accounts and putting them on and stuff like that. So I started doing more of these and coming up with my own like original quotes, and people are obsessed with them. It gives me a really cool way to like share these quotes, these original quotes that I'm coming up with. I love to, like, my favorite thing with these is to look at stuff that I see people doing, my clients or people in my industry, and kind of like call out the things that I disagree with. This is like how I share my polarizing content. And yeah, it just has kind of snowballed from there.
And can I ask, I want to talk more in a second, specifically around polarizing content. However, I like to know the behind the scenes stuff. So with your quotes, are you still writing them in a journal, or do you take pictures of the flat lay and then, you know, add the text on top?
I've thought about like, how can I get my handwriting turned into a font?
A font, yes.
But no, I handwrite them.
You do.
I buy the same like cheap notebooks from this store down the road from my house, and like have a Sharpie and I write them, and then I snap on my bed.
I love that. I love that. It's like still staying true to the original concept. Okay. Thank you for answering that burning question I have had for months.
Sure.
So let's talk more about polarizing content, because I think this is, you know, a lot of people talk about this. I know, you know, somebody, that I've met, Brandon Lucero, he has a whole program around like using polarizing content in video to really help, get your message across and attract the right people into your sphere. So what is the best way of really sort of coming up with great polarizing content? Like, do you sit down and sort of have a brainstorming session where you allow your space, like allow yourself to have that space, so that your creativity can start to happen? Like, I think a lot of people are probably sitting there thinking like, okay, well, you're a copywriter, Christine, words come naturally to you. I don't know if I can, maybe they're not going to do a quote, but just polarizing content in general, they're feeling a little stuck on.
Sure. So, first of all, like, I may be a copywriter and good at words, but like everybody has good ideas. So let's not like focus on that so much. I don't necessarily sit down and have like a brainstorming session. My ideas tend to just come to me randomly. So I keep a running list of ideas. And sometimes it might just be sort of like a general idea, or sometimes it might be like a quote that came to mind and I'll just like jot it down. I have a like an Evernote that I can access from my phone and my computer. And then when I go to actually write my content, which is something that I like try to batch, so I'm not just like every day trying to come up with something, I'll look at that list and I'll be like, okay, I can make this into a post, I can make this into a quote, and then I kind of do my content creation in like a set time. So I highly recommend, because I think a lot of people, like, ideas just come to us randomly. So find a way to capture those ideas in whatever way works for you. Like, notes app on your phone is probably like the easiest way. And then you can just go back to that when you do have the time to actually write your content. And then in terms of polarizing content, the way that I teach this, it's really just about having a strong opinion and being bold enough to share it. Yeah. So the way I teach this is you want to think of the things that you stand for and the things that you stand against. And I call this your hit list and your shit list. And like, think about in the work that you do in your industry and what you see other people doing, whatever, what do you really strongly agree with? What do you really strongly disagree with? And then just talk about that. That's really all it is.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's just about people having fear around standing up and being visible with those opinions that they hold.
Yeah. The reason why so much content gets lost online is because everybody is saying the same thing / too afraid to say what they really think. So it's just this watered down, boring messaging.
100%. And I've struggled with Instagram over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 months or something, because I don't want to be, it's like samesies. It's like all the same stuff. And I get frustrated with like the people I'm following. So I did like a mass, not in a mean way, just like an unfollowing of like, I just need some fresh inspiration. And I wasn't feeling inspired by spending time on the platform. And I wasn't even feeling inspired by my own stuff. Like I just have, you know, you have like this sort of time of feeling stuck with it. And so it's one of my goals this year is to, for me, it's funny, like the ideas coming naturally to you sort of here and there and you jotting them down. I think because I just tend to be a really, I have a lot of things going on, and I have two young kids and like multiple businesses and things are happening. And it's like my brain can't even come up with ideas because there's too many things running through it all the time, that for me, I do need that time where I just like have a blank journal. I go and I allow myself to like sit at a coffee shop or wherever it might be and just feel inspired and allow my creative juices to flow, because they don't flow when I'm just in the daily grind. Like it's like there's like a block, because I just need to like be in mom mode or entrepreneur mode or whatever, right? Totally. So it's, you know, it's finding like what is going to work for you. And then back to that thing around feeling like strong enough to stand in your opinions and to make them like heard. It can be hard too if you're somebody who doesn't want to offend people, right? Like, I try and be a really like kind person. Like that's where, that's a big value. And I'm not saying that polarizing content has to be mean. That's not where I'm coming from. But I also just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Totally. And this is something that I hear a lot. I would say, okay, first of all, let me give you an example. So I think that I share some pretty polarizing content. I don't think that anyone has ever said that I'm a mean person.
You're right. You know, you don't come across that way at all.
That's why I think there's a way to like share your opinion and call things out without directing it at people and making them like dumping it on them specifically. And I think that that may be something that takes some practice or something, but I think that like, if your intentions are to help people, and obviously you're like a good person, and I'm sure everyone listening here is the same, like it's not about it's not about being mean. It's not about like being derogatory towards people. It's just about saying that, you know what, I see this happening and I don't like it. And here's why, and here's what you can do instead. Or, you know, I came across this thing and I'm like, I hadn't seen anything like this before. And it's so amazing. I think everyone should be doing this. Like that's really all it is. It's like, it's not about tearing people down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like that. Great distinction. So one of the last questions before we wrap up here is, actually I have two. Okay. One is around, the first one is around, so, okay, we're creating polarizing content. We're getting really clear on that kind of stuff. What if we still want to share like more of that how-to type content. How do we balance those things? Yeah. Do you use like content buckets when you think about your content creation?
Yeah. So I have a couple different things that I think of in terms of this. So I think of like themes. So this is like, you know, the different parts of your brand. So for right. me, like copywriting and business, personal development, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing. And then there's also sort of like categories of content where it's like educational, inspirational stories, offers, social proof, things like that. So right. like the themes kind of keep your content on brand. And then the categories kind of vary your content. So you're sharing different aspects of your message and reaching people in different ways.
Right.
So yeah, I think that it is important to kind of, you don't want to be talking about anything and everything because then it's just like, what do you even do?
Yeah.
But it also, if you're just sharing how-to content, like people aren't getting to see your humanity. You know, if you're just sharing inspirational stories, then people may not know about your offers or like, you know, your testimonials and things like that. So varying those content categories helps you kind of create a full message.
And do you, when you're doing your content planning, let's say for Instagram, do you think about those things and have a bit of a schedule?
I used to be more structured with it. Now that I've been doing this for a few years, like with this strategy that I have, so I can kind of do it more on the fly.
Right.
But if you're struggling, if you're like, I don't know like what to do, like it can be helpful to have a little more structure. And think like really think about like, what am I sharing instead of just like, this is what I'm going to post today. Because then it's sort of like, it can, your results might not be as good. And then you're like, oh, this feels like a waste of time.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last question is around repurposing, because I am a big fan of making things stretch as far as we possibly can. And so do you have a system that you use for repurposing the content you create?
Yes. So, I mean, there's a couple different things that I do. First of all, like if I create like a video or like an email or something like that, then I'll be like, I'll pull pieces of that out and create content from it. You know, a video can become a written post, quotes can come out of things, stuff like right. that. And then I honestly, like on Instagram, like I'll sometimes if I'm like, I need content and this is what I'm talking about, I'll like scroll back a few months and legit just copy paste a caption with a different image. And
oh, like you'll copy paste a caption that you've like already done ago. On Instagram.
Yep.
Use post the caption again, but with yes. a new image.
Yep.
I love that.
And people do not know the difference.
Of course they don't. No, like, oh my goodness. We read so much and consume so much on a daily yeah. basis.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I intentionally do that with I call it my origin story. So basically like how I got started as a copywriter and stuff. Like I have this very distinct kind of story that I tell, and I just copy paste that intentionally, like every couple months.
Right.
You know, the people who've been around, they see it again and again and they're like, I love this story. And then new people, you know, get in on that and kind of how I got started. So
I love that. Okay. That was a really good tip to end on, because I think probably a lot of people don't utilize that. And, yeah, you've got probably a big bank of great content creation work that you've already done that you can actually just pull from. So it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Christine, this is a really good conversation. Can you let people know where they can find you? Tell them a little bit about your programs and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. So definitely come hang out with me and say hi on Instagram. My handle's @ChristineBlubaugh, which I'm sure we'll have links to everything. Uh-huh. And then I have a free thing for you guys called the Social Sales Roadmap. And this, it kind of shows you a visual of how to walk people through from your posts to comments to DMs and then into your programs. So you can grab that for free. And then, you know, I teach all of this stuff in depth in my Social Posts That Sell program. So if you're interested in learning how to clarify your message and write really impactful social media posts, and then also have those conversations that lead people into sales, that is something you can check out as well.
It sounds absolutely amazing. Well, Christine, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.